Good afternoon. Illinois Appellate Court, First District Court is now in session. The Sixth Division, the Honorable Justice Sanjay T. Taylor presiding, case number 24-1492, Country Preferred Insurance versus Imelda Bennett.
Good afternoon. My name is Sanjay Taylor. I'm the presiding justice of the Sixth Division of the First District Appellate Court. I'm joined by my colleagues this afternoon, Justice Michael Hyman and Justice Carl Walker. I see both counsel present. If I can ask counsel to introduce themselves and counsel for Appellant, each counsel will have 20 minutes in total. If I can also ask counsel for the appellant, how much of the 20 minutes he would like to reserve for rebuttal. So, if I can start with counsel for appellant.
Yes, Mike has Merrick for defendant and counter plaintiff Imelda Bennett. We'd like to have a 15-minute argument and 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kaczmarek.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. David Jenkins for the plaintiff appellee Country Preferred Insurance Company.
Okay, good afternoon, Mr. Jenkins. Okay, Mr. Kaczmarek, we'll begin.
All right. This is a case where the question is reasonably asked, what is the insured reading the plain and ordinary language of this policy supposed to do? And there's a conflict in the policy which makes that decision not an easy one. Reading the policy as a whole, Country Preferred cites the language which states that for underinsured motorist claims, they will be barred unless commenced within 2 years of the date of accident. However, there's another provision in the policy which states that the insured must make their demand for arbitration if no agreement is reached as to liability or damages. And for shortening, I would like to just refer to that as an impasse because saying all that takes a while.
Mr. Kaczmarek, let me ask you a quick question though. When that last provision that you refer to, that agreement is between whom? As you understand it.
That is the condition precedent that Country Preferred has in their policy that Bennett would have to comply with. There has to be an impasse before a demand for arbitration can be made. In fact, there must be because they use the word must, which is a very loaded word. You must have this impasse before, and then you have this right to make your demand for arbitration.
An impasse as to whom?
An impasse as to any agreement as to liability or damages. If
No,
you
an impasse as to what two entities, or what two?
right between Country Preferred and Bennett, there has to
Okay.
be. They can't agree on who's at fault, or they can't agree on how much damages there are, and
So
that.
then, what does that have to do with the agreement that Bennett is attempting to make with the uninsured, underinsured motorists?
It doesn't demand that cover that everything is stayed indefinitely. What it demands is that there has to be this breakdown between Bennett and Country Preferred. I mean, the case against the underinsured could go on for months or years. That's not the issue. The issue is when are you supposed to make your demand? And the policy says you make this demand when between Bennett and Country Preferred, there's an impasse as to the amount of the liability or the amount of damages.
So is it that you make the demand when there's an impasse only, or do you make the demand when there's either an impasse or you're getting ready to, the 2 year period is about to expire?
That is where the ambiguity comes in, because if Bennett made a demand within 2 years, but there'd been no impasse on liability or damages, Country Preferred could take the position that that's a nullity. You must make your demand when there's an impasse. So if
Where
Bennett
do you get the I'm confused where you come up with this word impasse. I don't see that word in that paragraph. Where do you come up with this impasse?
I'm using that word because it says if no agreement as to liability or damages can be reached, and that's kind of a mouthful. I'm using the word impasse just as a shorthand way of saying if no agreement is reached as to liability or damages.
Where's this? It says, it doesn't actually say that, does it? Wait,
Right.
Mr.
It's
President.
it says you must make your demand
Well,
if.
but the words you just read aren't the words in the paragraph, right? That's not, it doesn't say that.
Well, I believe that's
But it says
very.
whether the insured is legally entitled to recover damages. That's what it says, right?
Let me pull that up. Right, it reading it as I appears here, it's if there is no agreement as to liability or damages, that is when the insured must
Wait,
make.
wait, wait, wait. If, where's that? I'm looking at it. I don't see those words. What I see is if agreement can't be reached on the amount of damages, am I wrong?
Right. Well, under arbitration, if we and the insured disagree over whether that insured is legally entitled to recover damages from the owner or operator of an uninsured or underinsured motor vehicle, or if an agreement cannot be reached on the amount of the damages, the insured must make a written demand for arbitration.
Those are the words that we were talking about.
Correct.
And so what you said about impasse, I don't see that in there. Where do you come up with impasse?
Well, the impasse would be if Bennett and Country Preferred could not agree on the amount of damages or on the liability.
Well, it doesn't say amount, doesn't, it says recover damages, entitled to legally re entitled to recover damages, right? Or
Legally.
if agreement can't be reached on an amount of damages. So let's look at the clause, because you keep going to the second clause, which is after an or. And an or means either, right? Is that correct? Are you with me? We do agree.
Correct.
Or means, okay. So that can stand on its own. If agreement can't be reached in the amount of damages, and there was no agreement reached in the amount of damages, was there?
Correct.
Okay. So, that being the case, why wouldn't paragraph 7 makes it very clear that you have 2 years from the date of the accident to make it a demand?
That is one way to read the
No, it's
policy.
not one way. It's actually the you wrote a letter that you talk about in your brief. It's dated October 7th, 2022, and that is your demand letter, isn't it?
Correct.
And in your demand letter, the first paragraph, there are four sentences, three of which go to this issue that we're talking about, because in that letter, you must have been worried about timing, because the first paragraph has to do with timing. That is, that are you within the period of time to make your demand? And what you did is you rely on a case called Glenn versus Prestige Casualty Company. That case is not discussed by you in the briefs before us at all. It's not mentioned, not discussed. So you abandoned that argument, which you lost below. Why is that argument no longer valid? I assume it isn't. The judge ruled against you on it.
Well, that case was, I was arguing by analogy to that case, so it wasn't
But
direct.
that doesn't what you said. You didn't say analogy. You said that the difference, let's be frank, there is a difference between that case and our case before this case, isn't there? You know what
Correct.
the difference is? What's the difference?
I would have to look and
Well,
it.
in that case, talk about loss. In this case, talks about the date of the accident.
Correct.
Isn't that what the judge talked about? And what I read, the both cases, I read the judge's decision, I read Glenn, and I read all the decisions that are cited, which aren't very many. In fact, very few. So
considering that you made the position that you had 2 years because of Glenn, but that turns out to be wrong. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay.
That's why we proceed
Now
through
you
the
went to a different, you try a different tactic. And my question is that I don't see one case in your brief that supports your position. Not a one. There is no case that supports your position. Am I wrong? You don't cite any case in your opening brief or your reply. All you do is distinguish in the reply the cases cited by the other side. In the opening brief, there's only, I mean, the cases you cite are cases that don't say what you say they say.
There is no case directly on point interpreting this policy provision that we were able to find, and we looked
Well,
very
there
extensively.
actually there are. It depends on what you mean by on point, because if you look at a slew of cases, it's been this way since the early 1990s. There are many, many cases that have this is standard language. Would you agree with me that these two paragraphs that you're talking about is standard in the industry? There's some word differences from time to time. But it may be say laws or say date of accident, but these are standard provisions, correct?
That I won't agree with because I have
Okay.
seen, even from some of the what are known as substandard insurance companies, making it very clear in their policy that notwithstanding a provision as to what when there's a right to bring arbitration, that provision doesn't go beyond the 2 years.
Okay,
It
well,
doesn't.
here it's very clear it's 2 years. So the question is, are there any other cases out there where, despite trying to bring in ambiguity, courts have held on a consistent basis that 2 years means 2 years? Now, why shouldn't we rely on those cases? You say, oh, they're all different, but the issue is the same. It's ambiguity. And every court that has decided this issue, and you haven't cited a single one otherwise, says it's unambiguous and you have 2 years. And in fact, that seems to be what was troubling you in your October 7, 2022 letter. Otherwise, you would have said something differently.
It's 2 years unless there is some provision in the policy which conflicts with the 2 years. And that's.
No, it's a question
Because
of whether it's ambiguous.
ask you a question. Your
Sure.
argument is that this is an ambiguous policy because this language that you rely on, which you say is essentially impasse language, or if you look at the actual language in the agreement, it's that a quote agreement cannot be reached on the amount of damages. What I want to ask you is, or suggest to you, is that you seem to be th this would seem to introduce a very subjective standard, right? And we're talking about limitations period. And so, how would you define impasse? How would you define when agreement can't be reached? I mean, I can't tell you how many settlement conferences I've been in where one side says, there's no way we're going to settle this case. And the other side says, we're making progress. We should keep going, And so I just don't understand, the where this, you follow this to its logical conclusion. I just don't see that there's any way to interpret this policy in a coherent manner when you're just relying on the subjective belief of one particular party.
The standard, though, is one of the reasonable person, and it's not whether Imelda Bennett understood it or her lawyer understood it. It's whether a reasonable, objective person applying the plain and ordinary meaning of the English words would come to this decision that you had to wait till there was a absence of agreement on liability or damages to bring their demand for arbitration, because the
I don't think
policy.
you're answering the question because the question was you're trying to say it's this impasse, and the judge's question had to do with, well, how do we know there's an impasse? mean, isn't that why there's a strict 2-year statute of limitations within the policy?
Well, you definitely know where there's an impasse when Country Preferred files an action for declaratory judgment seeking to avoid coverage because it's their
But
contention
that's
that.
not an answer to the question. The question is, again, I don't know if there was an impasse or not. That's a declaratory judgment. The impasse had to do with your underlying case, right? You're saying, I thought in your briefs, you're saying, well, we don't know. The impasse wasn't with Country Mutual. I thought you were trying to say something else. Or am I wrong? Oh, your impasse is with Country Mutual all along, and you couldn't file that within 2 years? It wasn't the State Farm.
Well, there was one provision in the Country Preferred policy saying that you have to commence your UM claim within 2 years. But there's also a provision in the same policy which indicates that you must have a disagreement between Country Mutual and Bennett as to liability or damages, and then you must make your demand for arbitration. This could lead to perhaps two different demands for arbitration. You'd make a demand within 2 years. Country Preferred could say that's null and void because there's been no impasse yet. Then you'd have to make another demand for arbitration when Country Preferred, as in this case, refused to settle with Bennett.
Is that what the cases say? I mean, you say, let me just quote you, Meyer versus CC Services. You said this decision construed a different provision and has no bearing on the case. Let me read from the decision, which said that it would enforce a 2-year statute of limitations. It also said it would be tolled once the arbitration demand was made. And you haven't talked about that. Your example just now did not discuss toll. But more importantly to what you're talking about, it says that nothing would prevent her from, in this case, the plaintiff, from acting diligently and complying with the limitations period, so that the insurance company knows and can plan ahead. So courts have discussed this in connection with the 2-year period. And there is a very simple way of reconciling the plain language, which has been discussed in many cases, all of which you distinguish on factors that are not relevant to the decision in this case. Am I wrong?
Yes, Meyer stands for the proposition that you can have a 2-year period for bringing UM and UIM claims in your policy. Meyer doesn't look at the other important issue because it wasn't raised as to whether that policy was ambiguous.
Mr. Kazmarek, your time is up, so I'm going to turn to Mr. Jenkins.
Thank you, Your Honors. Once again, David Jenkins for Country Preferred. We ask that the summary judgment be affirmed again because Bennett did not make their arbitration demand within the 2 years of the accident, as required by the unambiguous provision in the policy. Your Honors have correctly pointed out the paragraph 7 specifically says that the suit or arbitration is barred unless commenced within 2 years.
But Mr. Jenkins, what about paragraph 3, though? Paragraph 3 says that they shouldn't submit a claim for arbitration until there's a disagreement amongst the parties, and there's been no disagreement as to your client and Ms. Bennett.
Thank you, Judge. And this has been addressed in the Ryan decision as well as some of the other decisions we addressed. The policy says that if an agreement cannot be reached, and an agreement cannot be reached, it doesn't say there's an impasse. And the courts have pointed out it doesn't
And I
say.
didn't use the word impasse. I said an agreement could not be reached. So let's stick.
I
Don't go
understood.
back to the language that Mr. Kasmir was using.
But in case in point, an agreement cannot be reached during that time period if there's no attempt by the insured to even try to reach an agreement. If the insured doesn't reach out and say, "Hey, Country Mutual, we have a potential UIM claim," I think Justice Hyman or Justice Taylor
But
said
you
it's.
provided us, just a second, you provided us with, we have, at least I have, two different versions of part three, that arbitration clause. In one part says that either party must make a written demand for arbitration. Then there's another one that says that the insured must make a written demand for the,
The
so
in
walk us through
the
that a
record,
little bit first.
sure. In the record, it's on C32. It's an amendatory provision. So, in other words, paragraph three, the arbitration provision that's in the body of the insurance policy was amended by the amendatory provision. I don't think there's been any dispute by the parties that we're dealing with the amendatory one. That says that the insured must make a written demand for arbitration.
But it almost makes no sense if you kind of think about it for a second. You're saying that they need to demand arbitration and they need to attempt to resolve things with their own insurance company. But yet at the same time, they're pursuing whatever coverage is available to this uninsured or underinsured motorist. And you're expecting them to, so if they ultimately are not able to make an agreement with that company within the 2 year period, and they have, but that's the reason why they have not attempted to make an agreement with you. It just seems to me that we're putting them in a position where we're saying we want them to do that and do this at the same time, but it doesn't seem like that you would be willing to settle with them until they've proven to you that there's no coverage over on the other side. So it seems to me, and then when you take out the clause, I like the first clause better in terms of supporting people who buy insurance, as we all do, rather than the new clause that you guys have created. Now you put the burden on the insured. Previously, the burden was on both parties to resolve this, and you flipped it. And I guess all the other companies have done the same thing you've done, because that's what happens sometimes. But go ahead, I'll let you finish explaining, because I like to listen, so I won't even ask any more questions of you. Go
You're,
ahead.
I love questions, Joe. That's why I do appellate work. The cases have unanimously, they've addressed this specific issue. There is no requirement that they even try to negotiate with the insurance company, but in order to have due diligence by the insured, they have a specific date that is the date of the accident. It creates certainty as to when that deadline is going to be. If no resolution has been made within those 2 years, and maybe then the insured should act diligently. In fact, from day one, the attorney can write a letter and says, "Hi, I represent an insured. We're involved in an accident. We have a potential UIM, a UAM, a UM claim. We would like to initiate the claims resolution procedures, and we are therefore demanding arbitration. My arbitrator is David Jenkins. If you'd like to hold this in abeyance until we actually resolve the rest of the claim, we can do so." By giving that notice, the insurance company says, "Oh, okay, there's a possible UIM claim." In this case, 2 years go by after the date of accident with absolutely no communication from counsel other than, "Hey, I represent the plaintiff." So there's no request for arbitration of our uninsured motorist claim. Then more than 2 years go by, we finally get a letter saying, "Hey, I'm getting a resolution of the underlying case." So again, I think in order to accept Bennett's arguments, the court would have to overrule all the precedents from 1987 onward to now that unequivocally say there's a 2 year limitations from the date of the accident. In order to initiate claims resolution procedures, they make a demand for arbitration. They don't even have to attempt to negotiate or even reach an impasse with the insurance company to preserve that right. There's also tolling provisions. There's a statutory provision on tolling and proof of loss. So there's means by which an insured who at the end of 2 years does not yet have a resolution of their claim can still initiate and protect the rights to coverage. So in this case, like your honors would have to again overrule a whole long line of cases that unanimously say it's 2 years from the date of the accident. I would like to, talk about the Mayer decision, which is the most recent one, which is on point. And I think a few things need to be noted on that. The dissenting judge, there was a concurring dissenting opinion in the Mayer decision, which specifically makes the arguments that Bennett is making here, that there's a conflict between paragraph or section 7 and section 3 of the policies dealing with this question of, okay, do we allow a premature claim for arbitration, or do we require that they negotiate and reach some impasse? And the court specifically rejected that argument. Again, in paragraph 22 of that opinion, they say the exact same argument that Bennett's making here, that the insured says a written demand for arbitration is not required unless the insurer and insurer are involved in a dispute concerning the damages or liability issues. And the court said, no, that's not the case. They have 2 years from the date of the accident, and specifically says the fact that she's still negotiating with the driver who was at fault in the accident, and this is paragraph 40 of that opinion, the fact that they're still negotiating with the at-fault driver doesn't prevent her from complying with the insurance policy limitations provision. And the court specifically said that those sections do not conflict. So there is no ambiguity. It's a 2 years from the date of the accident. And there are still means by which an insured who has not yet, you know, reached out to the insurance company to make a resolution.
What's your response to the argument in the reply brief that this case, Meyer, construed a different provision than the one at issue here?
The Mayer decision, I think, quotes the provisions, and they're the exact same one. And let me...
That's in paragraph 23 of the decision.
Yeah, the arbitration in the paragraph 7 is the exact same provision. Any suit arbitration will be barred unless commenced within 2 years after the date of the accident. And if agreement cannot be reached, it's the same provision. I believe it's the exact same policy language. And again, it was quoted and discussed in the dissenting opinion, which obviously was not the result of prevailing
view. When the counsel says it has no bearing on the case at bar, I assume you would disagree.
I disagree, yes. And it was, I think, highlighted in my brief as probably the most compelling case here.
In that Meyer case, it was Justice O'Brien, who at the time was an appellate court justice, he's now a Supreme Court justice, actually found that the letter that you all received from the insured was sufficient to give notice in that case.
Your Honor, in this case, two things. Number one, the plaintiff does not even make, I'm sorry, I, the plaintiff, the insured, Bennett, does not even make an argument that they complied with the two-year provision within the 2 years, that any letter. Number two, the record does not have a copy of any type of letter, and they've admitted in the request to admit, which was submitted in court.
No, just to be clear that on the facts here, other than making the claim, there was no other contact with your client, correct? Advising them of the accident.
There is nothing in the record here that reflects any communication other than the initial notice of the claim. And there's a reference to a letter that was done in June by the attorney. I don't believe it's in the record. But there was an identification of representation, but there's nothing in this record for the 2 year period. And in the first communication, again, didn't even reference demands for arbitration. It was in November of 2021.
Did the amendment occur prior to this particular accident, or was the amendment made after?
The amendment was at the inception of the policy. It was just, it's what they call an endorsement. It was at the inception of the policy.
There was a reference to the insured contacting the insurance company and asking for some information. When did that take place, so supposedly?
Oh, there was no request for information. The only reference that is in this record is on the response to the request to admit. Counsel indicated that there was a letter of representation that may have been sent early on, but there was no letter, and that There
Was there a
is,
phone call from the insured herself or
there
no?
may have been a judge, but it's not in this record.
Okay.
I can't speak to whether there was one. There is not one in this record. There has not been any facts indicating that there was contact.
In
Don't.
fact, there's summary judgment on the issue of whether the insured had a copy of the policy. And in fact, the insurance counsel did not even respond to the
Right, they
motion.
didn't respond to that motion, Judge, and that they waived any argument on that. I think it was clear they had a copy of the policy. They
That issue is been resolved.
Yeah, there was no counter affidavit in that case, in that issue, on that issue.
Correct.
Yeah, we're aware of that.
Mr. Jenkins, the way that this works, we have a underinsured coverage is if the insured is involved in an accident and obtains a resolution of a claim against the other party, other driver, the underinsured driver, and it doesn't, the proceeds are insufficient to even cover the medical, says here, that would then immediately trigger the underinsured coverage, but your position is that the insured has to make a claim for it.
Yes, the insured has to make the claim for that. And again,
Yeah,
this
it doesn't happen automatically, even in cases where there's medicals that exceed the substandard carrier's limit.
yes, they would, in order to pay off on the policy, and this is again addressed in the Ryan decision because I think they go through that if there is insufficient recovery from the at-fault driver, then they can pursue the claim for benefits under the policy. If it could be just resolved, the insurance company pays it. But if there's a disagreement, then the parties would arbitrate it.
So,
And
Mr. Kaczmarek says in his brief at one point that the insurer had reached out to his insurer seeking advice. That's not enough to trigger a claim.
no, it's not, Your Honor. Again, that's also made clear in the body of cases that we've cited in the brief. That it's not sufficient just to notify the insurance company that there's a potential claim. There must be an unequivocal demand for arbitration. And under the insurance policy here, the country preferred, it requires also the identification of the arbitrator. So again,
What purpose of the arbitrator or arbitration be? I mean, Mr. Kaczmarek's client purchased the policy that had underinsured coverage. So why would you need to arbitrate it if, for example, the medicals are in excess of what was paid up on the other driver's policy?
well, the insured would submit the medicals to the insurance company. I'm sure they would review it. If there's no disagreement, it would probably be paid.
There would
If
be no arbitration then, right?
no arbitration needed, if it was
I mean, presumably there would be no arbitration in most cases.
I can't answer that, Judge. I don't know the statistics on that, but could very well be. The Whitehead decision, the Illinois Supreme Court said that, 2 years from the accident is enough time for the insured to get the information necessary in order to put together and go to the insurance company. And if that 2 year period they are not resolved, these issues are not resolved, they have a means by which either to toll it through the proof of loss or file a demand for arbitration. And those, again, are very simple steps. We cite the member select case in our brief, at least as a roadmap of what has happened in fact, where an attorney within couple months makes his demand for arbitration, no further communications. And then 2 years after 2 years,
I
they have the
guess here, why do you need to make a demand for arbitration? I mean,
it's
you have,
to
you have,
preserve to
what's that?
start the courts are saying in order to pre and I didn't mean to interrupt the in order to preserve the right that if there has not been a disagreement, my limitations period is going to run. So I need to file my demand right now for arbitration. Again, it's a very simple, paragraph. As they also suggest, there's ways to submit proofs of loss and toll the limitations provision.
Yeah, but I
So
think
if
where
so.
Justice Kramer is going, though, if there's a, why does there need to be a demand for arbitration when you're saying that if the special damages, the medical bills, so forth, are far more than that policy, the $20,000 or $25,000 policy that the underinsured motorist had, then
the insurance company, it seems as though that they would just be, that once they got those bills, they just cover them and there would be no need for arbitration. So why does there even need to be a demand for arbitration where we know we're talking about an underinsured motorist and that it seems that my insurance company would be willing to cover me for my medicals?
There may not ever be a need for a demand for arbitration if the process has started earlier and they submit the medicals. We must understand. We should.
This
understand.
Sounds like a gotcha thing to me. It doesn't feel right to me. I mean, I realize that it's the law and we're required to follow the law, but it really does not feel right to me.
I think Justice Hyman had.
Well, you're talking to me right now. You're not talking to Justice Hyman. You're talking to me. I don't want to hear what Justice Hyman has to say about it. I want to hear what you have to say about it.
Sure.
I've already heard from Justice Hyman on these issues.
I'm sure. I think it's solid that we have a specific concrete date from which to measure these items. It's not unfair at all because the insured has means by which they can protect their interest under the policy and identify that they have an actual claim. And it also furthers the insurance company's benefit because then they get to know that there's a claim in the pipeline and they can look at it, resolve it.
Mr. Jenkins, I mean, obviously when the insurer is reaching out to his insurer and informing him of the settlement and that, you know, the medicals are in excess of the settlement and, you know, specifically says in his communication, refers to the underinsured coverage, it may not actually be formally requesting or making a claim. He asks for advice. Why isn't that enough? Why isn't that enough to toll the running of the period of limitations?
Well, I'll just turn to the cases which have addressed that specifically say, well,
no, I'm focused on language, right, the contract.
Oh, because the contract says, and Supreme Court has looked at that same language, that the action, the language is an action. Well, I just lost my policy provision. An action or demand, it requires a form, the 2-year limitations is a formal legal proceeding in order to go get the claim if there's a dispute. And you have a solid timeline to do that. Maybe the
that communication within the 2 years that I was referring to.
There can be lots of different types of communications between the insurance company and the insured, gathering documentation. The cases have addressed situations.
Yeah, the communication that I was referring to, that I was just discussing, was that within the 2-year period?
In our case, there was no communication within the 2-year period. Other than a vague reference to notice or notification that there was an accident and representation by counsel, which is again, so, that letter is not in the file.
So if in a case where let's assume then that you had this 2-year limitations period in the contract, an insured waits until, I don't know, 1 year and 11 months to make the underinsured claim, that's a process. It takes time, but I think what you're saying is that in order to protect that claim from lapsing, that the insured must make a demand for arbitration within the 2 years. Within, you have 30 more days then to make a demand for arbitration.
Yes, the Ryan decision by this court in 2011 says the dispositive question is whether there's a suit, action, or arbitration demand within the 2-year period. A letter is insufficient. Even a reference in a letter to, hey, I may have a underinsured motorist claim. I may have some issues. What do I do next? Or what is my choices? That doesn't suffice to satisfy the 2-year period. There must be a suit, action, or arbitration that's filed in the 2-year period.
So just take it, just stretching out Justice Taylor's example just a little bit. What if the person is in a terrible car accident and spends a year and 11 months in the hospital? So they then get out of the hospital, but now they're going to rehab and they have no family. there are people that really don't have a lot of family members that they can rely on, or no family members that they can rely on. So that person is just dead underwater. There's nothing they can do because the 2 years have elapsed. They didn't make an arbitration claim. The only thing they can collect is that $20,000 of coverage that's required by the state, and that's it.
First of all, Your
it
Honor,
doesn't feel right.
First of all, Your Honor, that's certainly not the facts in this case. We have a person that was represented from the beginning. Secondly, I'm sure there's tolling on incompetence. People, if the person is incompetent,
you're sure or are there? Because it sounds like the country preferred. Really, I'm sure you really like this. I wouldn't say you, but your client really likes this provision.
You know, these are standard provisions. I mean, there's a million cases, several cases of country preferred.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we've read all the cases. We know about all the cases out there. We do, but that doesn't mean it has to feel right.
Okay,
anything I don't always else, agree with everything that's been written.
Anything else, Mr. Jenkins?
Over the last 100 years, I mean, much of the stuff been written in the court over the last 100 years. I don't agree with.
Anything else, Mr. Jenkins?
I see my time is up. Judge, if I have further questions, I'm happy to answer them, but we do ask that the summary judgment be affirmed based on the controlling case law. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Kaczmarek, 5 minutes.
Yes. This case, lawsuit with the underinsured motorist did not settle within 2 years. It was still going on, and a settlement was only reached after the two-year period. Now,
when was Mr. Kaczmarek, there was a reference in your brief to a communication by your client to the insurer, which I think referenced the underinsured coverage. When was that, and what did that communication say? Was that within 2 years?
The only thing that is in the record was the letter of initial representation. Within 2 years, that Miss Bennett was involved in an accident, and we.
But there was some communication by her to the insurance companies seeking advice regarding the underinsured coverage. Am I misunderstanding that?
I don't believe that was made within 2 years.
Okay.
I don't want to mislead the court, but it's in the record. But I don't believe that was within 2 years. I know she requested the policy, but that was after the 2 years.
Okay.
So in this case, though, the underlying lawsuit was still going on, and there'd been no agreement with the underinsured motorist insurer. How in the world can she negotiate and determine whether there's a disagreement as to liability and damages when that case is still going on? She might have.
So you're saying we shouldn't, when a contract, this is a contract, has a definite date for claims to be made, lawsuits to be filed, arbitration to be demanded. That doesn't mean anything? Is that what we need to rule? We're going to be saying that contracts don't mean what they say? Is that we don't interpret them that way?
It's whether the clause demanding that you make your demand, you must make your demand if there is no agreement. That conflicts with the two-year provision. This is a direct conflict. You can't say you have to make
it. Can't you read them together, Mr. Kaczmarek?
There's no real burden to prove that it's impossible to read it that way. The burden that we have, as Bennett has, is to prove that it can be read either way. Because if it can be read either way, then it's ambiguous and it's construed in her favor as the party who did not draft the contract.
Cite us one case in Illinois that supports you.
With this exact language, we couldn't.
I'm not talking exact language. I'm talking in order, the law says that for you to make a point, you need some law. There's some basis. And you say there is no case in Illinois that has ignored a term like paragraph 7 here, number 7, 2-7, You can't give us one example of a case where the court has said, no, we're not going to follow that.
I don't have a case with that exact language.
It's not a matter of the exact language. You know, not every case has the exact same language. You know, you've been an experienced lawyer. You understand how law works and how arguments work and how precedent works. And so I'm asking for something that a statute, a rule, a case that would allow this to happen. You haven't cited any. I mean, your brief is absent of any support to your position.
Well, there are cases that we cite that say if the policy is ambiguous, then it is construed.
Right. So we find it not ambiguous, the case is over, right?
Correct. If the
That's the key question is there an ambiguity here? And correct. In all the cases that were cited by your opponent say that in these circumstances, there is no ambiguity.
There are correct. There are many cases that say the two-year period for demanding arbitration is valid and can be upheld based on those particular contracts.
Including now, Meyer, which counsel read, and if you look at it, it is the exact language that we have here. It's in the paragraph 23 of the appellate court's decision.
The two-year demand is in there. The
arbitration is in there too. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay. The question then is, when must the insured make their demand?
Well, this case is directly upon a point, and it goes against you. I can read the language. You can follow it. It's the exact language.
All right.
Okay, Mr. Kesmerick, your time is up. Any concluding thoughts?
Just that for the many reasons in our brief and we cite, the policy is ambiguous. Bennett has two choices she can make. She chose one. And for that reason, we'd ask the summary judgment in Country Preferred's favor be reversed.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Kesmerick and Mr. Jenkins, for your advocacy this afternoon and for your briefs. The case is submitted. The court will take the matter under advisement and issue a decision in due course.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good day.